ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
He's battled around the wicket again. Smith tries to lap it, gets inside the bounce, just paddles it away through backward square. He comes back for two. Crawley collects in the outfield. Smith turns for three. Webster gets back. Smith's got 100. And the best since Bradman gets even greater.
When a player is so consistently excellent, you can be somewhat inoculated to that excellence. And I wonder if that inoculation can be even more potent when the athlete in question is as deeply unconventional as Steve Smith. The batter will turn 37 this year, and he presently has one test century for each of those years. From an Ashes perspective, he's now statistically the best since Bradman. It's official. Today, we're taking a moment to appreciate the unconventional exceptionalism of Steve Smith. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Dean Bilton has been covering this Ashes series all summer long for the ABC. Dean, you've written about a sense that this series in some ways kind of needed a Steve Smith landmark. Why did you feel that was the case?
Well, I don't feel like any summer feels quite complete without like a proper Steve Smith innings, a proper Steve Smith day. And this one in particular, I mean, I feel like he needed it. He hasn't scored 100 at home against England since that 2017-18 series, which is not something that I was consciously aware of until I was looking into it yesterday. And considering this is probably the last Ashes test he will play at home, I say probably, surely, the last Ashes test he will play at home. Yesterday was kind of his last chance, really. I'm sure he was aware of that. He kind of batted as if he was aware of that.
Deep mid-wicket on the boundary, almost at deep square. Use of the feet by Smith, smashes Bethel back down the ground and over the rope for six. Well, that's happened with the introduction of spin.
Welcome to the crease, Jacob Bethel.
But for us watching as well, it's been such a bowlers series, and it's been such a strange off-kilter series. The speed of the matches, the tempo of the games, just it's never really felt settled. And in a really strange way, considering the way he bats, watching Steve Smith score runs in the way he did yesterday just seemed to settle everything down. It felt like, right, Australia's won the Ashes. You know, we're in Sydney. It's a dead rubber, but, you know, 3-2, 4-1 is kind of what we're going for here. And Steve Smith's got day three all to himself on a pretty comfy pitch against a bowling attack that's just absolutely out of gas, absolutely out of ideas. And he's just going to do his thing. And it felt really nice. It felt like being back home again. It felt like summer. And I think that's why we needed it. He needed it because he's addicted to this sort of thing. He loves scoring runs, and he wouldn't have been satisfied with himself if he hadn't have come out of this summer with 100.
Is it Steve Smith who said whenever he got 100, he'd reward himself with a bar of chocolate? Mm. Is that true?
Yeah, it was. He did reward himself when he made him that regularly. He had a bar of chocolate every week.
Well, yes.
So everybody gets to go home happy in the end, except for Matthew Potts, really.
Yeah, there was a beat recognition to it, wasn't there, whether it was us or him. And when you think about great Australian batters, you know, trademark shots might come to mind. Mark Walker clips off the pads, Damian Martin cover drive, Ricky Ponting's, you know, disastrous pull shot for the bowling attack, at least. Like, have the Smith idiosyncrasies kind of come to represent Smith's trademark?
I think it has to be, because he you're right, he doesn't really have that one shot. When I think about watching him bat at his absolute best, I guess it was the sort of shot through mid-wicket when he had absolutely no business picking them from outside off stump, moving across his crease, playing through the onside. I love it when he plays those on drives. He played one to get to 50 yesterday.
On drive by Smith for four, just to the onside of straight, not far away from the stumps. Steve Smith moves past 50.
That's a glorious shot by Steve Smith.
And he also played one, I remember, he made that 100 in Brisbane last year against India. It was his first one for a while, and he was scratchy. And then he played one on drive where I was like, right, there he is. He's back. He's found it. And he did the same thing again yesterday. So, I mean, you could call those signature shots, but I think you're right. I mean, when people remember Steve Smith, they'll remember the runs, they'll remember the hundreds, but they'll remember that he did it in a ridiculous manner.
As he goes wide of the off stump, and thank you, I'll have four. And Smith, as is his way, he's such a fastidious fella. He said, I've just hit it for four. I know that, but I need new gloves. I need new gloves. I've only been wearing them for three overs. That's the end of the over.
In a way that nobody else has ever batted like that, except Marnus a little bit. They'll remember the ticks. They'll remember him calling wides that he's faced. They'll remember him getting uppity about a woman in the row Z carrying some ice creams, apparently distracting him. You know, him jolting around, rolling around on his back.
Right, tongue in. We're ready to go. Tongue over the wicket. Shorts, and it's rolled Smith over. Almost a full backward roll in the direction of Joe Root. He left the ball alone. And act of swaying out of the way. Almost a little bit of circus gymnastics. Maybe something out of the PE class. It probably wasn't as well coordinated as someone who was trained at the circus.
Gesturing with his hands, doing the U thing to Jofra Archer. These are the memories. They're not normal. They're not typical of a great batter, but they're a lot of fun. And I guess it's better to have that as your signature than not be remembered, I guess.
You know that a player is in a sort of sense of flow or zone when they are saying that, Carse's sunglasses are distracting them and he needs them on the back of the head, not the front.
What was this other thing? Steve Smith asked Brighton Carse,
yes,
to turn his sunglasses around while he was fielding because the reflection was in his eyes.
Yes, that's right. He was fielding at mid-off. Yeah.
He could see the opera house from the dressing room, Steve Smith.
The term best since Bradman, it gets thrown around for many players over the journey, I feel like. Tendulkar, Root, Ponting. From an Ashes perspective, Smith's actually now there. He's eased past Jack Hobbs. He's into second on the run scorers list between the two enemies. Do you think sometimes you kind of need a hard stat like that to underscore a player's greatness?
A little bit, yeah. But I think it's also, for something like that, sort of best since Bradman, I think you can make numerical cases for a lot of players. The thing that nudges Smith is I think he's had a couple of those real signature series. And I think 2019 was the one away that kind of put him on a higher plane. The way he batted in the face of some incredible adversity in that particular winter, that was the point where he kind of elevated himself again. The comparison will be made to Joe Root, who's had some fantastic knocks against Australia in his home series, and now he's made two really, really good hundreds on this tour.
Here comes Nisa. He's forward, driving, and driving for a single. Down through a vacant mid-off, they go for one, they return for two, and Joe Root just punches his low on his bat, takes off his helmet, and more gladiatorially, he raises his arms as he celebrates a rare century in Australia in a test match, only his second.
He hasn't had that was Joe Root's Ashes. He hasn't had a series where he's been clearly the best batter in that series, far and away doing things that nobody else can do. Smith's had one of those, at least one of those, maybe two, because he did similar things in 17-18 as well in Ashes series, and then plenty of series like that against other countries as well. So a bit of it has to be a bit more unquantifiable, I think. It kind of has to be the feeling, how they make you feel watching them bat. And that, I think, is what nudges Smith ahead of some of his contemporaries. You can go back and you know, it's tougher to compare him to players of previous eras. But if we're looking sort of apples to apples, the big four, and specifically in this case, Root, I think that's just what would nudge him ahead.
Many wondered, I think, if Smith might retire from tests at the end of this series. I mean, he dismissed those suggestions outright before this game because I think the obvious question was, well, we know Usman Khawaja is departing. Are you now considering it? And Smith was sort of, you know, clear that he won't be. He will turn 37 in June, and the expectation was, because of his kind of unusual style that we've touched on, his game might at some point fall off a cliff, that his, you know, eyes, if they sort of faltered, his game would collapse. There's not much sign of degradation. How much longer do you think he might continue? Could he conceivably get to the next Ashes series? It's only 2027. It's not actually that far away.
Yeah, if I was to guess, I would say I think he will. I think he'll play in that away series now. He's got a bit of a break. They all do in Test cricket for about 8 months or so now, and then it's going to come thick and fast. And 2027 in particular is going to be absolutely enormous. So I think he might sort of circle that as sort of a grand finale year. But equally, I can see him getting to a point where they're going to have to push him out. He doesn't seem the type to ever want to stop playing cricket. I was talking to the guys earlier. Could you imagine him as a 10-year-old, as an 11-year-old, just refusing to stop batting? He got out today for 138 and was shaking his head and tutting, and he looked heartbroken.
Tongue over the wicket. Smith, nicking, caught. He's out. And his namesake takes the catch. And Steve Smith, after his 37th test run, the innings is over. A half an hour into the day on day four He departs for 138, and Josh Tung has got him.
He doesn't seem the guy who's going to, you know, want to put an end date on things himself. I think he'll play until they stop letting him play, basically. His game certainly hasn't fallen off a cliff, but there have been signs of degradation. As you say, so much of his batting has been just pure freakish hand-eye coordination, and that has to wane with age. There's been a little bit of that, but clearly not enough to make him, you know, not still an outstanding batter. So I think 2027 at least he'll be eyeing, and then he if he wants to, he can pick his spot. Pick Sydney would be that next summer, would be a pretty fitting place to call it. But equally, he might just bat until his mum calls him inside, basically.
I enjoyed hearing the Sydney crowd raising their level of applause as he came out to bat in an attempt, it seemed, to sort of drown out the Barmy Army boos.
The most almighty roar here for Steve Smith on the SCG ground.
I wonder how much that impending tour of South Africa in September might be something that could be quite momentous for him for obvious reasons. Is it fair to say that he's no longer Australia's most important bat, given what we've seen from Travis Head over the summer? And I guess that's kind of encouraging.
Yeah, I would agree. Travis Head is Australia's best batter at the moment. Most important is going to, I think that'll change depending on where Travis Head settles back in the batting order, whether he remains as an opener or if he slips back down to number five at some point. But yeah, I think he'll be very pleased that he doesn't have to carry so much of the load as he has in recent years. Head's been spectacular as an opener.
Josh Tung's got the task. He bowls to Head on 99. He square drives away to the boundary. And Travis Head winds up his bat, signals to the pavilion. It's a dozen test tons for Travis Head.
His series is rated up there with some of the very best by any Australian test opener in an Ashes series, which is a crazy thing to be saying, given where we were in the middle of November when it looked like, you know, we're floating Khawaja and Labuschagne there for a little while as the openers for the first test. Head's rise to real prominence has helped Smith later in his career, because there haven't been many others putting their hand up to fill that gap. Yeah, South Africa, that's going to be quite something. He's not the type to shy away from those sort of things, though. As I mentioned, 2019, what he's going to get in South Africa is going to be similar to that. And he's never batted better than he did in that 2019 Ashes series. So I think he'll front up to South Africa. He'll take every single part of it in his stride, take what comes, knowing the history, knowing what's ahead of him. And I'd be surprised if he didn't perform well there either.
Dean Bilson, thanks for your analysis. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Pat.
Headlines, and staying with the final Ashes test, Bo Webster finished 71 not out as Australia established a huge lead over England in Sydney, all out for 5-6-7. How about Webster? Spent the entire series waiting, finally gets his chance, cashes in immediately.
Stokes with two slips in the gully, and Webster around the pad, worth wide of mid-on, and takes off for a single, and the 50 comes up for Webster.
When this test wraps up, make sure you check out the ABC Cricket Podcast. Search for it on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your pods. Ed Cowan and Corbin Middlemass will be breaking it down like no one else. It's your favourite cricketer's favourite cricket conversation. There is tennis going down all over Australia right now as we head towards the AO at Melbourne Park later this month. Australia knocked over Czechia in the United Cup and will face Poland in the quarterfinals of that event. Alex Dimonor was crucial to that victory, winning his singles rubber after Maya Joint lost in the ladies before buttering up for victory in the doubles with Storm Hunter. That underlines Dimonor's ongoing commitment to Australian tennis. So it was something of a surprise when it was revealed he won't play in the Davis Cup tie on clay in Ecuador next month. The Aussie is trying to manage his workload for 2026.
For me, there's no greater goal than to be able to lift the trophy one day with Leighton, with the team for Australia again, right? So that's been a priority of mine. We've gotten awfully close. My focus is just to keep on improving as a player so I can help out the team when they need me, and I've got full faith in all the Aussie players that are going to Ecuador.
The NFL is heading towards the playoffs, but it's killing season from a coach's perspective. Over the last 48 hours, five head coaches have been let go in the league. The biggest name was Baltimore Ravens tactician John Harbaugh, who has been in charge 18 seasons with that team and previously won a Super Bowl. Arizona, Las Vegas, Cleveland and Atlanta all cut their coaches adrift. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.